Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifter's Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and today I have a really fun episode for you guys. So I sat down and interviewed Caitlin. You may know her as Katie Co. on Instagram and on whatnot. She is a live seller. She's 18 years old, and guys, she's crushing it. I am so excited that I get to sit down with her and get to know her a little bit better. I can't wait for you guys to get to know her better. So let's just dive right into it. We will see you at the table. All right. Go. I have Caitlin here. Hello, Caitlin. How are you?
Hi.
So excited to sit down and chat with you. Your story is amazing to me. Because you're so young and you've like got it figured out at such a young age. And I kind of like, I'm a little jealous because I definitely did not have it figured out like you do at 18. So before we get into all of that, why don't you introduce yourself to listeners, let them know who you are, how you got started, and then we'll take it from there.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin. I am the owner of Katie Co. I am a live seller. I sell on Whatnot. But I started out as just a reseller that kind of like thrifted things and went to yard sales. So I got into it at a very young age. My grandma used to take me to yard sales when I was like 4 years old, and she had me on Saturdays. And I just saw how it kind of like triggered something in my brain where I was like, wow, people sell stuff really cheap. And then I kind of got older and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do one day. And I knew I never wanted to go to college. And I was just thinking, like, what do I have interest in? And that is when I started doing listings and like just listings, purely listings on Poshmark. And then I was doing like, you know, my first year, I was 12 years old when I started like listing every day.
And that's amazing.
I just said like clear out my closet. So it really started with me clearing out my closet. Like we're talking American Eagle, Hollister,
right.
A 12 years old dream closet. And so then I got into listing all my mom's stuff. She has a lot of like Lily Poulter Anthropology. So it did well on Poshmark. So I kind of started listing on the Poshmark platform. And I think my first year I sold like, I don't know, $1,000 worth or something. That was when I was 12. Then the next year it was like 3,000. Third year, I started doing Mercari. I hit like 30,000 in sales that year. I think I was like 15 or 16. Then I was like, it just wasn't taking off for me in any way to where I could make it a full career. So right. I was like 16 years old, 17. And I was like nannying for a family, making like 15 an hour. Like it just wasn't, I had graduated high school a year early because I knew I wanted to not be in school and I knew I didn't want to go to college. Okay. But then the question kind of became, okay, you're about to turn 18, 17. What are you going to do? You don't want to go to college. And that is when Poshmark rolled out the live selling feature. And I actually have a text. I'm engaged now.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I got engaged to my middle school sweetheart, actually. But I was like, I have a text literally from 1 year ago, literally just about 1 year ago, where I texted my fiance and I was like, Poshmark just started live selling. This is going to be so great for sales. And I look back on that text and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just crazy. Cause I knew that I was so excited. Like I hadn't even been onboarded for it yet. So I started doing live sales. Let's fast forward, I guess. Started doing the live sales. I was 17 and I was purchasing loads and loads of Free People. So I got known as the Free People chick over on the Poshmark platform. Okay. So I was doing Free People every night, $3 starts, $10 starts, whatever, in that realm of cheap starts. So I got known for that really well. And then I made the decision to switch over to Whatnot. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, it was kind of like everyone was going crazy about it, but I chose to do it because I can move so much more inventory. So that's kind of how all of it happened. I realized live selling helped me move more inventory. And then I realized I could move more on Whatnot. And for me, it was always, how can I move more inventory? How can I buy more? How can I sell more? I just wanted to scale and continue to scale. So I switched over to Whatnot about 7-8 months ago. And now I go live there every single night, 8 o'clock. I do dollar starts on brands like Good American, Anthropology, Free People. we might be getting into some design or something. Yay. That I'm teasing. But yeah, so it's always crazy. I get phone calls every day. Do I want this deal? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So there's a lot in the works. And no matter what, we started at $1 and then we go live every night at 8. And so, yeah, it's been crazy. And it all happened in the last year. And sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, holy cow, I'm 18 years old. I've already sold $1 million worth of clothes in this last 9 months, not even a year of live selling. And I'm just like, I feel like I've whiplash.
Yeah. First of all, I want to like backtrack a little bit. So I love that you knew at such a young age that like, I don't want to go to college. It is not for me. It is not what I want to do. I don't care what everyone else is doing around me. I know that I want to do something on my own, whether it's my own business, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And you already had that entrepreneurial spirit at the age of 12. Like, that is fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, my brother, he went to college. My parents did, but they never forced me to make me feel like I needed to do that. They were very encouraging of my business. I mean, if I needed to do a deal right now that I like didn't have the funds for, my parents would be like, we've got you. Like, they've been very supportive. Even my mother. So I have a team, sort of. Everyone asks me like, who is your team? And I have a team. It's just sounds so funny to me because they're my family. Like, that is
my team. That's the best team.
I pay them. They're all paid. They're all paid employees. But like, so my future mother-in-law, she is like my full-time assistant, actually. And she is the one that helps me with pretty much every live show. And then if she can't do a live show, it's actually my grandma and my aunt that comes as the B team. So today, though, I didn't have either of them and I wanted to do a show this morning. And so I had my mom here. So I've just got a lot of support, or if my mom can't do it, my fiance does it. So it's just like, I've got people in my circle and it feels like I've got like, I'm covered. Like, I needed a place to store my inventory. I've been getting in like 30 pallets at a time. And my dad was like, oh, here's our building. Like, you can use it. I mean, he used to store all this stuff in there, like cars, vehicles, whatever. Right. I've taken over and he's given it to me. I don't pay him anything for it. So it's really nice.
So fortunate, because spaces like that are so hard to come by and so expensive. It's such an expense.
It really is. So to not have that overhead, it's the only way I'm able to live in a 1,000-square-foot apartment and be able to bring in that inventory, because people are like so shook when they're like, oh my gosh, how? And I'm like, okay, I've got a building. It gets stored there. But every day I have to drive to the building and stock my car up with it as much as I can. And then I go live with it that night. And then the next morning I'm back over there stocking my car up, or two times a day. Sometimes I do two shows a day, where we sell 600, 700 pieces of clothing. So.
Would it make sense to do the show in the building itself?
It would, if there was good internet.
Okay. Well, that's an important factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, it's just very spotty. I wouldn't want to go live. Be hard.
Yeah. There's just so many things I want to ask, but I do love that at such a young age you just knew, and you really like, you not only dove into it, you were confident about it, and you knew that live selling is what would take you to that next level, where I think as someone like myself who's a traditional seller, I'm like, but that's like so much more work, and I'm really happy and content with just listing. I know that I might be able to make more doing it the other way. And I love that now there's two avenues for these two different groups of people, right?
I totally agree. I think at first live selling became very oversaturated, but I think almost now listing is making a comeback. I think it's making a huge comeback, especially going into Q4. For me, I never wanted to go to college. I knew it. I was confident in it. I also was confident in the fact that I was still living with my parents and that I had stability. So what kind of gave me my first go ahead, when I first started doing live selling, I was like thrifting products. Like, I was driving to the thrift store every single day just to make about $300 in profit to do this whole show where I preloaded the tray.
Right. Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is too much. And then that's when I started looking into pallets. I spent my last $3,000 in my bank account that I had saved up. I have other money invested in stocks, but the last like retrievable money that I had to spend on inventory, I spent on a pallet. And luckily, it took off and it doubled my money. And then it continued to double and double and double. And then that's when I went from August being 1,000 in sales to December being 75,000 in sales to now where this last month I just hit 170,000 in September for sales. So I'm thinking December is probably going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm thinking November and December for you is going to be wild. You said something that I thought was interesting, that Poshmark didn't have the audience for you the way that Whatnot has the audience for you. And to me, that's interesting because when I think about it, I'm like, well, no, Poshmark has a bigger audience than Whatnot. How does that make any sense?
So I did get a good audience on Poshmark. I think it's maybe less of the audience, more of the fact that they limit your tray to less listings. And on Whatnot, I just label things 1 through 200. So it gets tagged number one, number two, number three. I don't have to preload a tray. I just go live. If I wanted to go live right now and sell 200 pieces, I could do it. I wouldn't have to think about anything going in there. So I did have normally on average about 100 people on my Posh shows on Whatnot. I'd say on average, especially at the start, I'm at 200 to 300 right when I go live. And I've peaked at like almost 600 in a show before at one time. I just felt like there was more tools there available, but I also, I'm going to say this, I don't know if you want to cut it out, but I felt like I was treated horribly by Poshmark. I felt like
we like honesty here. So you lay it all out there.
Yeah. I was not happy with them at all. And you know,
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I felt like a lot of people were starting to go over to Whatnot and try it out. And I feel like Poshmark is definitely doing a better job now of making those people feel a little more valuable.
Right.
But Poshmark had actually banned me kicked me off for 24 hours right in the midst of me making 70 to 100,000 on their site a month.
Why?
And overweight shipping packages. And I was upgrading like crazy every night. I was weighing, upgrading. And it's very weird because all these other sellers, they get the notifications, but they never get kicked off. But I was kicked off two separate times for 24-hour suspensions. And they told me if it happened again, they'd kick me off forever.
Mm-hmm. That's mind-blowing to me because you're upgrading the – so was it maybe just the volume that they just couldn't
maybe
handle?
The volume, and I wasn't able to catch up with it. I was selling so much, so many pieces of clothing. But it was so – odd. And the issue is it's their bundling system that's flawed.
Right.
People wanted to bundle. It's not like, what am I going to do? So I was the one who paid for the upgrades every time. A lot of people will reach out to them and say, hey, you need to buy this label. It just was so flawed, the system of it. And with Whatnot, it's just like, it already calculates the weight of it. So it was better for me. If you're a volume seller, I'd say Whatnot's better. If you're like a lister, Poshmark is obviously better. The listing on Whatnot hasn't quite made it yet, but the live selling is like just amazing over there, I feel like. But, you know, I just was not thrilled with how Poshmark was treating me. And so really, when I saw that Whatnot actually cared and wanted me there, like they wanted me there, I felt like just wanted and loved. And I was like, yeah, shoot. Peace out, Posh. Like,
yeah.
And Poshmark, they never reached out to me. I feel like that's something you should do if you're going to be hitting a million sales on their platform. They never reached out to me to see if I need anything or if I was like, you know, anything. All they did was kick me off through an email. And so I felt very angry. I'm still actually very angry about it. So I was just like happy to say, peace out. Like, don't. Yeah.
Do you still traditionally list at all or no?
Nope. I don't have time for that.
Well, not when you're running multiple shows a day.
Well, even like I will get like recently I got in these $4,000 leather jackets that were selling on Poshmark for like $2,000 in like resale. I started them all at $1 and they went for like $200. So I have a lot of people who watch me that are resellers, and a lot of people buy my stuff to go and list on Poshmark, which I'm cool with. That's my audience, whatever. But I'm like happy to take the loss on it when I paid lower and they're getting it for a good deal. Like, I don't even think that I'm losing money where someone else might. I think they're making money and I'm making my money, and I don't care what they do with it next.
Well, I think that's a good way to think about it too, because when you are a volume seller, the way that you do it, your cost of goods is so low on these pieces that you're able to sell it even for $15, $20, and you still have a good ROI on it. Because at the end of the day, it's about moving the quantity of items, not just what that one piece is going to give you. It's a totally different business model.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, it's the same thing with like suppliers when they sell, or the companies that sell bulk to you guys or to us, and they say, we're selling it at $10 a unit. We know you're going to get 30 for it, but that's just the name of the game. You're taking on a large quantity. I mean, you know, and we get deals every day that are 10,000 units, and it might only be a couple dollars a unit, but it's because we're taking 10,000 units, and who else is going to throw up? I mean, we're prepared at any time to throw up close to 200,000 and are like, just throw out $200,000, like, because you have to. And that's the hit I take to give my audience good deals at the price points I can give them.
You're a very smart businesswoman.
Thank you.
You are. For at such a very young age, you are very intelligent, and you already understand how important it is to create these systems and what the value of that dollar is in your business, because there are people older than you that still don't understand it, right? Like, it's not an easy concept. If business doesn't come naturally to you, it is very difficult to grow a business in the way that you're growing it.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but do you have business like in your family? Do you have family members that are in business?
I do. And I think that's probably what sparked the entrepreneurial spirit in me. My dad owns his own company. He owns a building company in our area. So he builds custom homes. And I saw, you know, I grew up watching my dad build his business, like actually build it, because they weren't super well off when they were. My mom was a real estate agent. She did well. He also worked in the real estate world. They did okay, but I got like kind of the pleasure of watching my dad build nothing into something that's now making so much money. And it's that to me, like, I to see that growing up, I think definitely sparked something.
Yeah, I totally understand that. On a different scale, you know, my dad came over here from Italy in his late 20s. Didn't have anything, didn't know the language, and went to night school, learned English, he was a mechanic in Europe. But when he came here, he had to find somewhere that would take him, because he didn't learn in America. He learned in Europe. So he was able to, you know, work some connections, get some experience here in America, working on American cars and European cars, and then ended up opening his own shop with his friend who also came here from Italy. And they had a business, and it did well. And seeing that growing up, I can attest to, yes, it leaves an impression on you as a child to like see your parent, yes, work a lot, because there's no way around it. But you see the dedication they have to it and how proud they are of it. And it just transfers to the child.
It does. And I don't even think I realized it in the moment, but I can look back on it and see how hard of workers both my parents were, and how I knew that I had the potential to do something and grow something just like they did. From a young age, I wanted to grow something. I wanted to grow something that was mine and happened to be a business, I guess.
and you're doing it. And you're doing it in the new reselling way, right? Like you started off doing the traditional listing and you're like, not for me. So we're going to jump into live sales. Yeah, this is for me. And then who knows where that will take you? I mean, there might be another stepping stone for you that you don't even know is going to have, you know, that's going to be there. It could be something brand new.
I know. I think like I just craved to live sell. Like there was something within me that when I found out that live selling was an option, that I just was like, a psycho craving it. Like, I just wanted to go.
You're very energetic, though, Caitlin.
Yes, so. I was just so excited that I could get on there and share the items that I, like, sourced myself. Like, there was something just so exciting about it that I remember, like, my first few shows, it felt like I was live for 10 minutes and I was live for 4 hours. Like, I just was so excited. I'd never been so excited for something in my, like, entire life. And then when I saw that I was making so much money from it, I was like, this is insane. And obviously that doesn't hurt.
No, it does not. So my question to you is, where do you see that? Well, I want to dive, like, into how you live sell, but where do you see this live selling take you into, we'll say, like, the next 6 months? Do you have a certain plan? Is there, like, certain things that you want to hit, or is there certain markets that you want to tap into?
Mm-hmm. Not really. Honestly, I don't have a plan. I wish I could say that I've mapped all this out.
We're just winging it, guys. We're winging it.
We're winging it. And I think I take each day with just, like, what deals can I get? It's all about the deals I can get. I'm just out, like, I hustle to get the good deals. And that's kind of all I focus on, is just, like, getting the good deals, going live, just consistency. Like, I always tell people in this business, consistency is key, whether you're listing, you're setting listing goals, live show goals, whatever it is. I set my basic goals. I'm going to continue to sell 225 items every show, like I do, where I auction them. And I don't know, I don't really have a goal. I do see it staying at a very steady pace. I do see us hitting the 200,000 mark and over, especially going into December and November.
Yeah.
I would like to. I think we'll definitely be able to do it.
I think you will.
But just continuing to maybe, like, push myself to go a little further. But I don't have any, like super, I'm just going to continue doing what's working. I'm not going to switch it up because it's working. Don't fix it if it's not broken. So, yeah. But I mean, that's the next 6 months. For the next, like, 6 years or 10 years, whatever, I hope for consistency also, I guess. I don't, I'm a hard worker. I'm confident in my hard work and my drive to get things done. So I don't see Katie Co going anywhere.
I don't think so either. For you to have grown the way that you have over the last year and a half, I mean, the sky's the limit. Right.
I've only had my Instagram up for 7 months.
I'll say less than a year.
Mm-hmm. It's been 7 months and I was just like, and we're already over 12,000 over there. We're almost at 13.
Are you on TikTok too or just Instagram?
I have a TikTok and I will cross list, but I'm not like, I'll cross post my reels, but I don't do it every day.
Yeah.
If I'm bored.
Well, it's like a whole nother world that you have to learn.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to dabble into that. I don't really want the TikTok audience, to be completely honest with you. I'm going to leave that for the others. I think that TikTok is starting their own live selling right now.
Oh, and okay.
It seems to be, like, it's huge. It's very big right now.
Interesting.
But the audience is very different from mine. So I'm going to stick to my girls and I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah. I don't even remember how I found you on Instagram. I think you might have followed me and I was like,
what is this?
And then I clicked and I was like, what is this girl? Where did she come from? Because I don't ever go on Whatnot or really on any of the live sales. So, like, on occasion I might pop into one because it looks interesting, but, like, I just don't have the time to go into such things. I know some people listen to them as they're working and stuff, but, like, I listen to true crime podcasts and that, like, takes me through the day. So I was like, I was blown away. And then when I was like, wait, this girl doesn't have any followers. Like, who is she? She's clearly doing really well. And I was like, so interested in you. And it's been so fascinating to, like, watch the journey evolve. I have, so we have a Patreon group with the podcast, and quite a few people reached out to me. They're like, hey, you need to interview this girl. I was like, guys, I'm already on it. Don't worry.
I love it. I did kind of come out of nowhere. I think that people say that and I'm like, I was just born, y'all. Like, I just became legal. I don't know. Like, I'm just turned 18. So I guess I did come out of nowhere for, I mean, you're not even really legally allowed to sell on most of the platforms until you're 18. So,
right.
I mean, Whatnot is 18 years old. I think Posh is 13. I don't even know. Is it 13?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I don't know. There's a million things on Google. I try to find the answers. I know for a fact Whatnot is 18. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, they didn't even want me to come over there and sell. I mean, like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, they had reached out saying, you should come check it out, check out Whatnot. They'd see my posh shows, come check us out. And that's when I was like, yeah, posh marks treated me bad. So let me come over and try out a show over there. And then I loved it. And so I stayed.
Can you talk about the difference in audience between Poshmark and Whatnot? Because there are people that listen that have tried maybe one or the other or both, and they just can't find maybe which one works the best for them. And I think you've already alluded to it, you know, plenty of times that consistency is really what's going to help build this audience for you. But do you think the demographic and the market is different on
either platform? I think that they're very similar. I think it's where you decide to set up shop, honestly. Gotcha. Most of my people are kind of on both platforms at this point. I have friends that kill it on Whatnot, and I have friends that kill it on Poshmark. I think it's really just about what works for you. What do you personally like to go live more on? Or if you're already doing all this listing, then you should probably just stick to Posh because you can just pull your listings over into that show. But I think it's about the person, what they're looking to do. If you're a volume seller, I mean, we're talking you're moving thousands of units every week.
Yeah.
Whatnot's probably going to be your friend. If you're only selling a couple hundred or less, Poshmark is probably going to be better because you're going to get likes on those listings and you're going to pull them into your show. I think it's just about feeling out what works best for you. I could have made Poshmark work long term, but I didn't want to. And Whatnot was way more appealing to me. I mean, everyone, I have some of my closest friends way more prefer Poshmark, and I way more prefer Whatnot. And it's literally just where they've set up their shop, really.
Well, I think that's a good point too, that if people are putting up listings already on Poshmark, it is a much simpler process to just import those. Does Whatnot have a feature where you can import your Poshmark listings into?
They do, which is really nice. They actually just started that. I should have said that. So they do officially have something that you can import your Posh listings into Whatnot, which is like a game changer.
Yeah.
It definitely helps, I think, Whatnot to bring over some of those people. But yes, you can. And there is a marketplace on Whatnot, so you can list. And I think they're doing
that's
a lot
new,
better.
Right?
It is very new. And I make marketplace sales over there all the time. But it's probably not as high tech as Posh is, but I definitely see in the future that. Here's the thing, though. If we're comparing live selling, Whatnot is way more high tech, like thousands. Because you think the last few years in business, all they've done is poured everything into live selling, whereas Poshmark hasn't. They've been doing a million other things. If anything, live selling is one of the last of their worries, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I think that Whatnot's just put more work into it. And that makes me more confident when I'm going live on that platform.
And they've actually been around for quite some time. I mean, it was more like the collectibles and all that kind of stuff,
right? Yes, so it started with Funkos, cards. They only started women's wear about a little over a year ago.
Yeah, so it's a new market in terms of live selling on there.
Yeah.
But they have come a long way, you know, whether it's brands that are on there, whatever, you know, have to give it to them. When Whatnot first came out, I was a little scared. I was like, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work in the reselling world, but they've proven everyone wrong, and they have sustained, especially in women's clothing.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, if you had told me 3 years ago when I was just listing that reselling was going to take a turn to live selling, I would have been like, wow, that's crazy. I think I would have been like, wow. I wouldn't have believed it, really. It's just so far from what you would think. Like, but I mean, it makes sense now, I guess.
And I think people enjoy
those shows like HSN, QVC. Like, people do enjoy watching those things. And I think it's almost like reminiscent of that when people get on the platform and
it's a modern day.
Right. And you're putting on a show, whether that's the way you view it or not. People are coming for entertainment, to watch you, to get to know you, to see the products that you have, because they have fun with you. Like, to them, it's entertainment.
Yes.
And I think with traditional listing, you just have to be okay with the fact that the right person has to come along and want that item and offer or buy it outright. Where on a show, you may have a group of people that don't necessarily need anything, but they see something that interests them and the star price is right. So they're okay with bidding to whatever amount it is that they're comfortable with. It's a different way of selling.
Totally different. And you definitely are accepting through live selling that you're going to be essentially a volume seller of some sort, definitely more than you were listing, because you're not holding on to things. You're just getting it out the door over and over and over again. So it's also, again, finding there's nothing wrong with sticking to just listing. Like some people, I mean, they make a ton of money just listing. You can do that and you can still make a ton of money. And if anything, you'll just have to spend less time packaging. I mean, when we're talking about the volume I'm doing, I'm having to sell more, package more, ship more, all just more. And then, you know, I guess it'll equate to what's more worth it for you, you know?
So this is a perfect segue, because I think we should dive into the way that, you know, you do your business. And I'm sure that's what people are curious about, because you just brought up a great thing is time, right? The time that it takes and all that when you're doing quantity. Mm-hmm. So the first step to the way that you're live selling is to find someone out there that you can buy product from. Yes. Caitlin is not going to give her sources out. We know that here. Anyone who's come on and talked about palettes, they do not give out sources. Do not ask. It is not nice. Do your research. Google is your best friend and you will find sources out there. And I'm sure that is how you started finding sources.
Yes. I mean, just adding on to that, I've never addressed this before. And I get about 10 questions a day about where you get your palettes. Just so people know, It is, I'm sure every reseller will agree that it is a slap in the face from the blood, sweat, and tears that we have shed to find our sources. And you're not going to come into our inbox and just freely get our 6 months or years and years of work that it took to build relationships. And so no, we don't give out sources. You have to earn it. I had to earn it. Nobody handed it to me. But yeah, so first step is finding the supplier or finding multiple suppliers. We have to purchase from multiple people and we still are on the search constantly. Yeah. At the rate that we sell things at, we are constantly looking for another supplier. I mean, it's not like that's one of the biggest stressors is like keeping up, because we're selling like up to 10,000 units of clothing in a month, sometimes even more. And it's like keeping up with that. So yeah, that's the first step.
So I've never bought a palette. I have had many friends who resell. That's all they do is they buy palettes. And during, you know, that 2020 to 2022 era, it was very easy to find these distributors that were just like giving away these amazing palettes to sellers. It's definitely gotten harder, I think, out there for sellers who rely on palettes.
Yeah, I didn't do palettes during that time. Yeah. I was too busy in freshman year.
I was going to say, you were in high school, so.
But I did like, I was just doing thrifting. I don't even think I knew what a palette was. I think I just thought, oh, I'm going to go try to find a Lily Pulitzer top at the thrift store.
Right.
Like, but oh, I'm going to try to find some Lululemon. Like, I don't think I thought, I never could have comprehended the volume. I was selling like 5 to 10 items a day and I was like, cool, whatever.
Right.
I had more money than anyone else in my friend group because I was at least working and doing something.
Right.
And you know, I was probably making like, I think my goal used to be $100 a day in profit. And that used to be my goal.
That's a solid goal to have every day.
Yes. My goal now is like a couple thousand.
Expenses have changed.
Yes.
Would you say that it can become difficult to find the right sources, to find the right product, because there are so many suppliers that are out there?
It's hard. Everyone's looking for the same thing. It's definitely hard. I would say the biggest thing, which puts a damper on things, is that you have to have the cash flow.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for people to, for me, I don't have kids, so I feel like I can be a little more risky. I would, if the right deal came along, I would send over $300,000 right now. And I feel like a little more confident in that because I don't have to worry about not feeding my kids next week. Like, I feel like I'm fine. What's the worst case? I move back in with my parents. So I'm actually a very aggressive businesswoman when it comes to deals, like very aggressive in that regard. But it's hard because you've got to find them. You've got to have the money. You have to have the space. It's super hard to get into the volume selling. I kind of look back on it and think, how did this happen? Where did I go right in this situation to actually be here selling all this product? Like, what did I do correct that I'm, it just feels very like so many things had to hit for me. And so I think it's a hard industry alone to get into live selling right now. It's very oversaturated. If you didn't get in and get big at the right time, you're struggling to get your viewership up. It's hard because now like Whatnot and Poshmark, they've all let everybody come on. So now anyone who wants to live sell can hop on and live sell. So that's especially hard. It's kind of like in regard to like, we've got our upper class, your middle class and your lower class. It's kind of wiping out the middle class, you know? Mm-hmm. So now you have your top sellers and then you have sellers that are trying to get up there. And it's hard when it's so oversaturated with 200 shows and one has two and one has three and one has 10. Yeah. And it's just like very difficult. So I am fortunate that I was able to build my business at the right time, find an audience that loves me, that I love, and that we were able to go up and have a couple hundred viewers in a show at a time. But I feel really bad for people who really want to make it. That's why in my streams, like, I always tell people, please comment your future shows in the chat if you have a show coming up. I try to be very supportive of everyone. I think there's room for everyone to succeed. There's just a certain way to do it. I mean,
I think it's, and that's another good point, is it's very discouraging to people who are trying to get into live sales. And someone's on at the same time as you and they have 300 people in there. And you know you can't compete with that. And you know that the...
Especially when you're not known and you're trying to make a name for yourself. Correct. There's no competing with that. I mean, most of these people on Whatnot are very set in stone with I was even lucky that I was able to get in and get an audience because these girls, and I guess the guys too, but mainly girls, they'd already built up these huge audiences. Mm-hmm. And I'm like this little 18-year-old that just came over here, and like everyone was very confused by me when I came on because I also rose up quick over there. They were like, who is she? Is she like
what's influencer or something?
Yeah, like everyone, I think everyone thought I might have been an influencer at first because I'm like this little blonde girl and my little like pink dress, and I think everyone was very like, there was definitely talk amongst the Whatnot ladies like who is she? My first show on Whatnot, I had over 500 people in my room. So I was beating everyone that night. And I'm sure everyone was thinking, what is going on? Like, who is she? We've never heard of her before. I didn't even have an Instagram presence. Didn't even have an Instagram yet. And this was only like 7 months ago. So it just was like, I think everyone has been confused about where I came from.
But I think it just, it's a true testament to your personality and who you are, and people are just drawn to the style of show that you have, the pace, and we'll get into this too, like the way you run a show, but I think all that plays into it. This is what people, the way that you do it is how to keep the audience and how to get the people to keep coming back.
Exactly. I mean, I think especially you have to be willing to almost take losses your first few shows because people only want to watch stuff that's starting low. It's not that you can't do well with set prices. You can. It's just you might not be that's honestly a great way if you're a lister and you don't really want to get into live selling that much, but you kind of like the idea of testing it out. Maybe pull your listings over from Posh and just go on there and just see how you like it and do set prices. It's just not going to be volume selling, but it's going to be live selling, and you can do that. And maybe you will move a little bit more product than you were doing not live selling. So it's okay to do set prices. You're just not really submitting yourself to be like a top game player in the realm of live selling. Cause it's just what the people want. And that's in my experience. I don't want to like speak for everyone. I feel like from what I have seen for my audience that they want dollar starts. And that's what I do.
I mean, yeah, I could see why. And also, I think a lot of it plays into economy and the way the world is today. Yeah. And it is fun to see, okay, to start at a dollar. And I ended up getting it for 45 or whatever. And this piece, you know, is valued at 300. It's still a deal.
Yeah. So I think it's just like, it's right now, I think the biggest thing in reselling in the reselling world is finding what works for you. And it's not going to be what works for your friend.
Yes. Oh my God. Like it, I don't care who you are. You should be reassessing your business right now and seeing what it is that works for you and stop looking at what everyone else is doing.
I know. Like, I mean, I have another friend that I think, you know, maybe her live sales aren't going as well, but her listing has just started picking up. And I'm like, it's okay to make to go back. It's whatever works for your business in that time. If you, you know, if your listing is taking off again, then maybe you should spend more time listing. It's whatever works for you and your business.
Right. Maybe that's your audience and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? All right. So we've got a supplier. We've got items that are coming to us. What does that look like when a truck comes and shows up and is dumping things at whatever location it is?
The best day ever. The best day of the week. It's my shipping days are my best days. I have one tomorrow. I love doing it because it means I'm filming content that day. But it's very exciting, or it can be very devastating if you get a bad pallet.
Yeah. Do you do manifested or unmanifested?
Unmanifested. I don't think I've ever done
it. Oh, you are brave.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done a manifested. That's, I am very brave. I'm like, I don't care what's in there. I'll give you $5 a unit and I'll take 10,000 of them. That's how I'm very just like, whatever.
Give me anxiety.
Yeah, I'm sure I do. But I mean, like, no, I don't even, normally I don't even ask for photos. I'm just like, if you F with me, I'll sue you.
I have an attorney, so.
Yeah, so unless you want a really mean letter in the mail, don't mess with me. I know your address.
right.
But no, I'm not normally afraid. Like, I'll get my dad in the truck and we're going to
Do you go pick up the stuff or do you have
So they deliver to the building. They deliver to the building and it's a very easy process. They drop it off. They put it where I tell them to put it. And then I pray and then I open it up.
Do you go through each thing right then and there? No.
I've never taken inventory ever.
Okay.
I'll know if I'm short in the end.
Right, because you're counting the pieces and what's selling.
Yeah, so. I know how many shows I've done, how many pieces. I'm not going to know if I'm short 20 pieces, but if you short me 100 or more, I'm going to know. So yeah. I'm not going to lose my mind over 20 pieces. But that's only because I can equate for that in my volume. Other people couldn't equate for, you know, and I have had deals where I've had some supplier story, horror stories for sure. I mean, I had to block one and I'm sure most like people in the resale world who purchase pallets would know the name. I'm not going to say it, but they would know the name and they would say, be careful, tread lightly. So, I mean, yes, you have to be very careful with who you work with, especially when you're wire transferring money. That's what most of them want. They want a wire transfer. They're not going to do PayPal friend or no. They're going to want the PayPal friends and family. They're going to want they don't want you to business PayPal them because then they're paying fees. They want a hard wire. And so now you're trusting someone you've never met in your life to send them $100,000 or whatever the deal is. And so it is very like, can be nerve wracking. And that's hard for people to say, okay, I want to take that leap because especially when you could just go to the thrift store and buy $50 and flip it into $500. Like that might sound lower risk. I don't have to worry about not feeding my kids next week or whatever. So yeah, it's like, I just do it. most of the people I've done deals with so far, I've had good, successful deals with, and we will continue to work with each other. I think I'm at my best place right now that I've been with good relationships with suppliers.
That's great.
It's amazing. And I hustled for that. And I worked really hard. So,
yeah. So when you come across a pallet and let's say you're going through it and you're trying to plan out a show and there's just, I don't know, 200 pieces, 300 pieces of just stuff that it's just not worth you running. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
What did you do?
I got a return. I was able to do it. some suppliers will not, but it was a situation with a company that I've done a lot of business with, and they charged me way too high per unit for what I was actually getting. It was Skims, and the photos to me just weren't, and I still work with a supplier, so it's fine. But I just said, there's no way you charged me $18 an item for this. It was almost insulting. And I think that right. They knew it, but they took the return on it. So any other time, I mean, most of the time, I don't think, like, I've never really lost like a ton of money on a deal. Right. I might've broken even or whatever, but I don't think I've ever like taken a hit, like a hard hit.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, but because that's one of the risks you run with pallets.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do run the risk of buying, you know, you hope that they would take the return. They don't normally. Normally, they'll offer you money back, if that. Or they'll say, they'll block your number. They don't care. Like,
sorry.
Yeah, like, you bought what you bought. It's buyer beware, I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, some your definition, like, there was another deal where they told me it was returns, right? And my definition of returns was different. All the items came flawed to me. And I'm like, okay, if it's flawed, it's damage. These are damages.
Right.
These aren't, you know. So I ended up like they were all like deodorant stains, makeup stains. And I spent the whole day cleaning them all with makeup wipes. And like, that was a whole day that I did end up coming out in the green, but it was like, was I in the green? I just made
all the time that you spent.
Yeah.
So That's a lot. But yeah, there's a distinct difference between returns. And yes, some returns can have stains on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I told them, I said, this is 75% damages right here.
And, right.
And they weren't willing to do anything on it. So I just said, okay.
Yeah. So those that are listening, this is what happens when, and this is just the reality of buying pallets.
Yeah.
It just is. It's the reality of it. And for some people, this is their business model and it works. And for other people, it's like, that is a risk that I don't want to take. I'm just going to stick to thrifting, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That is totally fine.
I love thrifting. I do. Yeah. I love going thrifting. I with the volume I move, I can't anymore.
Well, no, it'd be very difficult to try to make time for that too. You know, that'd be really hard for you to do. Okay. So we have the product. We're going to get ready for a show. What does that look like for you?
Okay. So pretty much it looks like just me dragging in a bunch of boxes, my apartment neighbor saying, what do you do? And literally just turning on the camera and going live. I mean, I literally just grab the pieces. Here's number one, number two, and we just run. And I run at a 10-second sudden death. So it's 10 seconds on the clock. They bid all that they can. And we're on to the next item. Boom, boom, boom. I sell about 120 items in an hour.
Wow.
Auction. And then that's not to equate for what's going selling out of my buy it now section on whatnot.
So you're doing both. You're doing a buy it now section, which has whatever it has in it. Right.
Yeah.
And then you're not physically listing each thing into whatnot. You're just putting numbers in.
Not for the auction.
Okay. And you're just running
things. For the buy it now section, I'll normally have like a beauty product in there. Like recently we had something called a PMD. It's a beauty facial cleanser. It's $150 on Sephora's website. And I sold them all for $25 an item and they blew out the door, blew out. I mean, it was three shows. I've sold like all 500 of them that I had.
Wow.
Yeah. So it went quick.
Do you think the buy it now is an important element to have if you're selling on whatnot and doing the auctions?
No, I didn't start doing it for a while. Just if you want to move more volume and you can get the right deals, and yeah, why not? I don't like make it. I don't stress about it. But like, if I buy a makeup deal, I'll stick makeup in there. It's normally beauty products that I put in there, or you know, like I'll work out deals. Like I just purchased like 3,000 units of jewelry, and I'm probably gonna sell like little mystery jewelry bundles. And
cute.
You know, yeah. So yeah, it's just like, just to help get more sales, you know?
Yeah. Do people get discounted shipping if they purchase something in the buy it now?
It'll bundle together, just like on Poshmark, it bundles together. So it's Whatnot's very good about that.
That's good to know. All right. So we do the show. You're live for about 2 to 4 hours, we'll say.
Yeah.
And now what do you do after a show? Like what is that besides the disaster that's in your apartment?
So we start the packaging process. My grandma and my aunt come over. My fiance's mom is already here, and we actually can bang out about, I mean, last night we sold 400 orders in one show, or 400 items, and we were done packaging in an hour and a half, 2 hours. People are shocked at how quick we can package.
Well, I mean, we don't have, quick. Well, I guess we have a system.
When I get a rating that says, oh, I wish I had tissue paper. Oh, I wish I.
Please.
I'm like, no. No.
We don't do that here.
I'm like, I would love to. And when I did listings, I would write, I used to have a thank you note for everyone. I'm like, my hand would fall off if I wrote 400 thank you notes.
No, you'd have to have something that's already created.
No, we're poly mail or put it in, out the door. We have less than a 24-hour ship time. Wow. And it's out the next morning. We load up the car at midnight to 2 a.m. every night and have it ready to go at 8 or 9 in the morning.
You're keeping your grandma up until 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. She gets paid well, don't worry.
So you don't do pickups?
No, I'd rather my grandma come and get it, and I know it's going straight to the post office.
You trust, I like grandma.
I pay her, I don't know what I pay her, maybe a teacher's salary or something. I pay her good money.
Good for grandma.
And I know. And, you know, it works for her. I feel better that my customers have their packages in better hands. I do trust post office people, but you hear stuff. I don't want to hear stuff about my
stuff.
Well,
not only that, but like things sometimes don't track right away and they take longer.
Let's just get it. We take it to the little country post office where no one brings packages into. Good, done.
All right. And then now you're going live every single day. How are you pre-planning all of this? Or are you just kind of like, this is the pallet that I'm getting in?
If I get a call, I didn't know what show was going to happen tomorrow. I got a call a little bit ago that another brand was delivering tomorrow. And I thought, okay, well, I guess we'll go live with that brand tomorrow. It's whatever I feel like running. So tomorrow,
love this about you.
Yeah. So tomorrow, you know, I got a call a little bit ago and they told me my Anthropology stuff was the delivering. So I was like, all right, well, we're doing Anthropology tomorrow. So nice. Dollar starts right. Anthro. Yeah.
Do you think that you'll always stick with women's clothing, or do you think you'll dabble into anything
else? I've dabbled
into
men's, like those leather jackets I was telling you about. Yeah. They were men's. If it's really high MSRPs, I can't say no for the price point.
Right.
I would dabble if it was the right brand. I sold, like, when I got in my Everlane deal, I sold some men's jeans. I like to have a little bit of men's at times because it doesn't hurt. And women, they like to cover up their order with a one thing for their husband.
Right, with a significant other.
Yeah.
For those who are listening, because I want to be mindful of your time because I know you've got to get ready for another show tonight. Those who are listening who are like, okay, this is really impressive to me. I really want to dive into live sales, or I want to improve my live sales. What are some tips that you can give to them to take that step, whether it's on Whatnot or Poshmark? Mm-hmm.
I would say consistency, making sure, maybe set a set in stone showtime. Don't do 8 o'clock. That's my
anytime but 8 p.m.
Any
Thank
other
you.
Time.
Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
No, but I mean, setting a schedule. Maybe you go live Monday, Wednesday at 12 o'clock or whatever time works best for you. Other than 8 o'clock. And I think just consistency of like going on, even if you don't want to. I don't always want to go live at 8 every single day, every night, but I do it because it's consistency. And don't force yourself to do it if you don't want to. It's not for everybody. And it's not for everybody. So if it's like, don't force yourself, I would say. But I mean, if you've been wanting to try it out, just do it. If you want to try it, do it. You should do it.
I think the best way, if you're a traditional seller, right? Like listing and selling the traditional way, I think maybe the best way to start would be pull those items that aren't really selling for you anymore in your closet and liquidate them and like get your audience that way and then build it up from there.
Yes, I 1000% agree. I feel like that's how I kind of got my start, is I took all the other stuff and said, all right, I don't care if it goes for $3, just get it gone.
Right. Because I think there's almost like a stigma that if you're doing these live sales, you have to jump into the pallets. And I don't think if you're starting, that's the best way to go about it, because you don't know if you're going to actually like doing pallets, number one, or want to do that kind of volume.
Exactly.
because it's a lot. It is a lot of work, in case you can't tell. She's young, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, how do you do it? I'm like, I'm 18, y'all.
I was going to say, you're 18.
We know, like, I'm sure y'all were running around town at 18. I'm just putting my energy into something else. I mean, I'm young. I have got the energy. I'm okay. Like, everyone, my family's always so worried about me. Like, take a break. And I'm like, no, y'all, like, I'm 18. Like, I'm fine. But yeah. And everyone's like, do you drink caffeine? I'm like, no, I don't. This is pure me. But yeah. So, and I'm happy. I'd love to get back on if, like, people have questions about anything, and we can do a second podcast. Absolutely. Where we answer them.
I love that you bring that up, because I think it'd be a fun conversation for our Patreon group to, like, dive in a little bit deeper, because we do have people in the group that have done live sales before, maybe didn't find success with it the way that they thought that they would. And we have people that sell in all different categories. We have people that do jewelry, vintage, all different categories out there. So I think it would be fun to, like, take little snippets
And there's a market for live selling with every category right now. Everything you could think of, records to Legos, like anything.
It's so crazy to think of. But I mean, when you think about it, eBay started auctions back in the day, and this is just a different way of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, this was so much fun to get to know you on a more personal level and chat with you. I wish you all the success, my friend. You don't need it. You're doing great. But it's really exciting to see the growth in such a short period of time. And I'm excited to see what happens in 2024 for you.
Thank you. I'm excited too. It'll be interesting.
Yes. So thank you so much, guys, for listening. Caitlin's information will be linked in the show notes below. Make sure you check out her shows. Follow her on social media. She posts all the time on social media when she's going live in her stories. So you'll know when she goes live. And yeah, that's it. So we will be back next week, guys. Bye, everyone.